Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. This program is designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God.
So hey everybody, turn up your radio. Listen to your soul cry the question why song makes you wonderful. Something you never seen before.
Pastor Brian is currently teaching from the book of Mark and will be continuing this series with part one of the parables of Jesus. So let's turn in our Bibles to Mark chapter 4 verse 1 as Pastor Brian takes us back to basics.
And again, Jesus began to teach by the sea, and a great multitude was gathered to him so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea, and the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. Then he taught them many things by parables and said to them in his teaching, "Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased and produced, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said to them, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." But when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable. And he said to them, "To you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But to those who are outside, all things come in parables, so that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them." So they're asking him, "Lord, why are you speaking in these parables now?" And Jesus tells them a hard truth. He said, basically, "I'm speaking in these parables to veil the truth." You think, well, why in the world would God do that? It was a judgment that was beginning to come because he had been there. He had been speaking plainly to them. He had been speaking clearly to them, and they were not receiving his word. And so now the judgment is beginning to fall upon them, and it starts with Jesus speaking in these parables. So what it's going to force the people to do is, you know, it's almost like they just haven't really been paying attention. You know, they've been there for the wrong reasons. They're not getting what the Lord is saying. They're not getting the seriousness of the moment. They're not getting the reality that the Messiah is among them. And so he's beginning to speak to them in parables, in a sense, to sort of separate the group even further, those who are going to press in and really engage and really listen and really receive versus those who are just going to kind of be there for the fringe benefits, you know, be there for the food that's getting doled out occasionally, or be there to see the miracle that's happening now and again. They're there for the wrong reasons. Their hearts aren't right. So they're going to have more and more difficulty understanding what he's saying. As he quotes here, this is what Isaiah was talking about. He's quoting from Isaiah chapter 6. "Seeing that they may see and not perceive, hearing they may hear and not understand." So this is the prophecy that Isaiah gave, that they would hear, but they wouldn't perceive. they would see it, but they really wouldn't understand. So that's beginning to take place. But for those who had the ear to hear, those who did receive, Jesus, of course, is giving them the full understanding of the parables that he's speaking. So he explains the parable to them. Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? So he gives the interpretation. The sower sows the word. So it's the picture of the farmer who's there with his bag of seed, and he's going along and he's scattering the seed. Jesus says, this is how the word is going out. He himself, at this point, is the sower. He's sowing the word. He's throwing the word out there. And these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. So the seed goes out, falls by the wayside. The birds, he said, come and snatch it up. Jesus said, this is the spiritual understanding of what I'm talking about. This is what happens. Satan comes. This always strikes me, that whenever the word is going out, Satan is always right there to try to snatch it away. He's always right there to try to rob people of receiving the word. And that's why it's important not to be content having shared the word with somebody to just walk away and not really give any more thought to it. When we share the word with somebody, what we really need to do is, as we walk away, we need to pray, Lord, help that word to take root. Lord, beat back the devil so he's not able to snatch that word away. But you know, he does do that. He comes along, and even in a situation like this, you know, here you are and you're sitting and you're listening and you're needing to receive, and the word's coming and you're starting to receive it, but the enemy's there going, no, don't. You can't receive that. And he'll come with all kinds of reasons that he'll rapidly sort of, you know, pass through your thinking process as to why that's not for you, or why you can't embrace that, or how do you know that that's really true, or, you know, whatever the case. So we have to be aware of that. Whenever the word's going out, Satan's at work, because he does not want the word to take root in anybody's life. And he's quite successful. So they hear, but Satan comes and immediately takes away the word that was sown in their heart. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation and persecution arise for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. So here's a different group. The word doesn't take any kind of root whatsoever. It's snatched up before it can ever get into the heart. But now here's a different group where the word seems to take, but yet it's temporary. There's no depth. The roots don't go down. And as he said, the sun comes out and scorches it, and it dies. But here, Jesus says what that is when tribulation or persecution arise for the word's sake. Boy, I'll tell you, I have seen so many people over the years who had heard the word and received the word and were so excited about it. And so excited that they ran out and they were telling everybody, man, you got to come to the Lord, and you got to know Jesus, and come with me to church. And, you know, you just look at them initially and you think, wow, this is amazing. This person's on fire. This is so exciting. And you would think, you know, they're going to light the world on fire. And then a month later, 2 months, 3 months down the road, they're not even around anymore. What happened? Well, there was that momentary excitement, but then the reality of the daily walk sets in, the reality that everything's not, you know, as easy as one might have thought, or expectations aren't met, and tribulation starts to come along, and people start to say, hey, you know, that's weird, and, you know, the person starts to rethink it, and then pretty soon they start to kind of, you know, quieting down and becoming more silent, and then they're just sort of, you know, blending back in with the crowd that they came out of, and then that phase kind of came and went. And we see that, and I've seen that many, many times over the years. And then another class. Now, these are the ones sown among the thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desire for other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. So here's another category. Here's another group who receive the word, and, you know, something springs up. It's not that thing that immediately is scorched because of the sun, but something springs up. And there appears to be life there. But then the thorns come in and begin to choke it. And again, these are things that I have witnessed myself personally. People with the Lord for some years even. And I even know of situations where people have walked with the Lord for 20, 25 years. But then, you know, there's just sort of a, you know, like we talked about before, there's kind of just the, everything turns into a routine, and it's just rote, and then they fall into that rut, and then they begin to rot. And the cares of this life begin to choke out the word, the cares of this world. The things of the world just start to take on more importance again. Where at one time there was a disconnection from those things in the heart to where it's like, you know, that doesn't really matter to me anymore. That's not what I'm living for. I'm living for the Lord. And there's, you know, this initial excitement, and, you know, might have even gone on for quite some time. But then that starts to diminish. That starts to wane. And then there's more and more concern, the cares of this world. The cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches. Oh, man. Note that word, deceitfulness. Riches are deceitful. They fool you. They trick you. Isn't it true? Everybody wants to be rich. Why? Because they think, man, that's where happiness is. That's where fulfillment is. If I could just get rich, or you know, even rich in comparison to what I am now, if I could just do better financially, man, that's going to solve everything. That's going to take care of my problems. I'm going to be content. I'm going to be fulfilled. I'm going to be happy. The deceitfulness of riches. Riches can't make you happy. And it's amazing that people still believe that they can, because the richest people in the world are, generally speaking, the most miserable people in the world. And we know they're miserable because they're the most well-known people in the world in their lives. We get to see, you know, what's going on in their lives because they're people of interest because of their wealth. So the paparazzi and everybody is always, you know, following them around and photographing what they're doing and, you know, getting the next story. And, you know, they're the ones who generally, their marriages never last. And they go through 3, 4, 5 relationships. And they're in and out of, you know, rehab centers. And they're in trouble with the law and all of this kind of stuff. You know, just, but they've got plenty of money. They've got more money than they could ever spend. I think of some of these old prize fighters, you know. Mike Tyson, I think Tyson made like $60 million or something like that in his, it might have been more than that, but I remember that figure coming out at a certain point. And, you know, $60 million. I mean, how do you blow $60 million? How do you get to a point where you're just flat broke after you've had $60 million? But there have been a lot of people that have done that. And what are they doing in the process? They're trying to find fulfillment. They're trying to be content. They're trying to be happy. I love what Paul says in writing to Timothy about riches. He says, those that go after riches, they pierce themselves through with many sorrows. That's the truth. So, but how many people have been led astray by the deceitfulness of riches? I've had people tell me, well, you know, I just want to be rich. I've had people tell me, I think the Lord wants me to be rich. You know, if the Lord wants you to be rich, He'll make you rich. But it's not going to destroy your faith. There's no crime in being rich. There's no sin in being rich. But if we forsake the Lord to pursue riches, that's where the problem comes in. If we're trying to be rich and God hasn't called us to be rich, then it's going to be to our destruction. And so the deceitfulness of riches and the desire for other things, the cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches, the desire for other things. So, you know, people with the Lord for lots of years and serving God, but then their hearts grow cold and then they just start desiring other things. Well, you know, I don't really want to go to church tonight. I don't want to read my Bible really much anymore. I don't really want to pray. You know, I don't really want to get together with those guys. They want to talk about Jesus too much and all that. You know, there's other things that I want to do. You start thinking like that. You start being interested in those other things, whatever they are. Other is just, it's anything, really. Anything that comes in and takes away the passion. Because, you know, the reality is when we come to Christ, what happens? God does a work in our hearts and we get a passion for Jesus. We're excited about him. We want to be around the things of the Spirit and we want to be involved in the things of God and we want to get to know him. But if that starts to diminish, we have to be careful. Now, all of us go through seasons where, you know, the fire maybe, you know, burns a little bit lower than normal. But we have to be careful during those seasons. We have to, you know, kind of slap ourselves around and say, wait a second, I got to stoke this fire. I got to get myself back in tune spiritually, lest I drift off into these other things. And as I said, there's a couple things that stand out in my mind of people who not only were in church for years, but were involved in various ways in ministry. And I can think right now of people that have been on this platform ministering to this congregation through various gifts who today have turned their back on their families, left their wives for other women, got caught up in adultery, went after the money, got interested and involved in other things, and they're just as far out there as you could ever imagine. So this is a real thing that we have to be extremely cautious about. The thorns choking out the seed. So, you know, in the end here, he comes to this one, the one sown on good ground, who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit. So there's, out of all of these four, there's one that's really the one that we want to aim to be. We want to aim to be those who hear the word. And I think it's Luke, he uses the word understanding. We need to understand the word. And so we've got to put forth the effort to understand the word. You guys are doing that. You're here for a Bible study. You're studying on your own. You're with your buddies and your group and you're building each other up. That's right. That's good. That's what we need to do. You know, it's not a matter of just reading some words on a page and then walking away saying, okay, well, I read my Bible for the day. Did you understand it? You see, there has to be understanding in order for there to be real maturity, real growth that's taking place. And so hearing it with understanding, accepting it, receiving it, and then the fruit comes. Now, I think here there's two ways to look at this parable. On the one hand, we can look at it from the perspective of salvation. And, you know, one out of four people who encounter the word, according to the parable, end up really, you know, being saved in the truest sense. Some people criticize different forms of evangelism, like maybe like mass evangelism or what you call crusade evangelism or something like that. They say, oh, well, you know, out of the 100 people that came forward at the invitation or out of the 1,000 people that came forward at the invitation or whatever, you know, only 250 really got saved. Well, that's about the percentages here in the parable. So we don't stop doing evangelism just because not everybody's getting saved. We just have got to get the word out there. God knows who's going to get saved. But also, I think there's an application that's not necessarily a salvation application. The application is more for us as believers, because this whole thing that we're talking about here, you know, is kind of a cycle that we can go through even as believers, where the Lord brings us the word and the enemy's right there trying to snatch it away. And, you know, we receive the word and we move in a direction that God wants us to go in, and we're stepping out, we're taking steps of faith, but then tribulation comes and persecution comes and we back off, so we really don't bear the kind of fruit that God was wanting us to bear. Or we're growing in the Lord, but then other things come in and they just start to choke the life out. We're still saved, but we're not bearing the kind of fruit that God intends, because we're allowing these other things not to fully rip us off to where we just, you know, forsake the faith, but to just affect us enough to take away the fruitfulness that God is looking for. So we have to be on our guard as believers. We don't want to let the devil snatch the word away. We don't want to let the troubles that we go through discourage us, so we draw back. And we certainly want to be careful not to let the cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches, the desire for other things come in and start to take up our time and our energy, get us distracted from the things of the Spirit. So we're just not fruitful. God wants us to be fruitful. He wants us to bear fruit. Now, some 30-fold, some 60, some 100. What's the difference there? Why are some 30, why some 60, why 100? I think it has to do with God's ordaining of fruit for our lives. God has ordained that we bear fruit, and some people are going to bear a certain amount, other people are going to bear another amount, according to God's sovereign plan and purpose for a person's life. I can't do anything more than God's called me to do, but I certainly don't want to do anything less than he's called me to do. So that's what we want to shoot for. I want to do what God has called me to do. So let's be on our guard there. We don't want to fall into that, but we want to receive the word, hear it, accept what it says, and let the word do that work in our hearts so that fruit that God is wanting to see produced can come forth. Now, verse 21. Also he said to them, is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed? Is it not to be set on a lampstand? For there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret, but that it should come to light. Anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Then he said to them, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you again. And to you who hear, more will be given. For whoever has, to him more will be given. But whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken away from him. This is such an important thing that Jesus says to us here. He's basically telling us to make sure that as we hear the word of God, that we apply it to our lives, because that's the way we're going to keep hearing. That's the way we're going to get more. If we're not receiving and doing what God tells us, we're not going to get anything more until we apply what he's already given us. So when the Lord gives us things, he expects us to apply them to our lives. He expects us to assimilate this into our lives, and he expects that we would respond to him. And then as we do, he comes along with more. So if you feel sometimes like you're up against a wall and you can't push forward, maybe stop and say, well, Lord, is there something that I haven't yet applied that you've already spoken to me? Maybe I've put a crimp in the pipe so that flow is not able to come because of some disobedience or something like that. So the more we respond, the more we're going to receive. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you again. And to those who hear, more will be given. So the more we hear and apply, God's going to keep supplying that to us.
We'll return with more insightful lessons from the book of Mark in our next study as Pastor Brian continues with part two of the parables of Jesus. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of this study, or perhaps you'd like to review it again at a more convenient time, you can do so by simply calling us toll-free at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message entitled The Parables of Jesus. Or if you prefer, simply refer to it by resource number BBM124. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-733-6443. Pastor Brian would also love to connect with you online, and he can be found at facebook.com/Pastor Brian Broderson. Also on Twitter at twitter.com/Brian Broderson. And for those of you that prefer to write, you can address your correspondence to Back to Basics, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And when writing or calling, be sure to ask for a free catalog of available resources from Back to Basics, and please include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. You're also invited to visit our website at backtobasicsradio.com, where you can listen to archived messages by Pastor Brian or subscribe to our podcasts. Once again, that's backtobasicsradio.com.
Turn up your radio.
Back to Basics is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.